My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Love his body, love his frame, his upside. Yeah, a very explosive player, very physical. Can be used in a lot of different ways. Patrick McDonough, one of our scouts, did a phenomenal job scouting him. He was his Red Star player this year, which is kind of cool. And we just feel like he's a Raven type of guy. Fits us in many different ways, mentality and with his just physical style of play. So we're excited to get him.
Eric DaCosta, Ravens GM, after the draft, talking about third-round pick out of Penn State, Adiza Isaac, who's been on the shelf, nursing injuries. Haven't really seen much of him on the field. Hopefully that'll change here coming up on, Saturday, I believe they report. And then certainly through training camp coming up in less than 2 weeks. So before, Vinny, we get into the breakdown of Adiza Isaac, it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob, Eddie, Vince, Rod, Nolan, Graw. Turn out Tuesday, news from the Nest. What's a Red Star player? I'm assuming it's someone who doesn't stink.
I've never heard of it, Bob. That
would be more like a red flag.
I'm guessing that your red star player is probably a guy, not a first rounder, that you really would like to see the team take, or he fits, like a Raven. He acts like a Raven. Those kind of things. That's what I'm guessing.
But Isaac, coming out of Penn State, where he played opposite Chop Robinson, who was a first round draft pick, but when you did the profile, what did it say about it? Is this a possible steal?
Yeah, Adiza Isaac, redshirt senior. He's 6'4", 247, ran 4.74, 1.64, 10, which is not bad. I always like 1.62 or better as a pass rusher, so not too bad. He comes off the corner pretty good. 10.3 broad jump, which is good. 34.5 vertical, pretty decent. He's got long arms, 33 7/8, 9 5/8 hands. So he's got good measurables. Now in 2019, as a reserve, 14 tackles, 1.5 sacks. 2020, 9 games, COVID, 13 tackles, 1.5 sacks. 2021, tore his Achilles, missed the season. Kind of going, he fits right in, the Ravens. It's like Tommy John surgery. 2022, started 13 games, 28 tackles, 11 tackles for loss, 4 sacks. And then year 2 of the Achilles, 2023, this past year, started 13 games, 37 tackles, 16 tackles for loss, 7.5 sacks. So you like the improvement there. His strengths, he's got size, effort, athletic ability, shows a burst. He can drop into coverage, quick takeoff, good initial punch, closes down quickly on the backside versus the run, shows ability to bend the corner, uses hands well to shed, keeps feet moving in pass. He can find a ball in a run game. He can punch, lock out, and shed. Strong. Has some power on the bull rush. Captain. Good on stunts. Excellent motor and football smarts. Weakness. Little hip stiffness. Needs to work on some counters. Needs to get stronger and bigger in the lower body. And better anchor in the run game. So in summary, this kid plays with a great motor. He has some pass rush skill, and with Chuck Smith's help, will develop counters. He needs to get stronger in the lower body, but does a decent job in run, especially from the backside and slanting in from the backside. We'll need more bulk setting the edge. We'll struggle in coverage with some hip stiffness. I like him as a rusher, strong, quick hands, relentless, and productive. So, like you said, Bob, the only thing I saw him just running with the trainer, I mean, physically, he looked good, but he pulled a hammy first day of rookie minicamp. So the thing with Adisa, he showed up. I mean, like, you take notice, because, like, you're watching Chop Robinson, it's like, damn, number 20's making a sack again. Who's number 20? Because he keeps coming around the corner. And everybody, you know, kept bragging about Chop Robinson, and this is the guy that made all the plays. So I like, and you know, the part that you love his motor, and I'm sure, Bob, that he's lifting and getting stronger. He's going to do what it takes. Redshirt senior, so he's an older kid too. But he is tough. He will compete. And if he can find a way to set the edge right now, you know, if you can't set the edge, try him as a rusher. I'm anxious to see, you know, what he looks like one-on-one drills. But not going to fall in love with the one-on-one drills. And you know, he's going to make his hay in the preseason games. He's got to show up in the preseason games, and it's got to be like, I don't know what number. I don't even know what number. Well, he never had a number on out there, so I don't know what number he is. But we need to say, just like when we were watching the Ravens game, nobody thought, Clowney, you know, what is he? But what do we talk about every Monday? Damn, 24.
Yep.
He's in the backfield all the time. And that's what we need with Adisa in these preseason games, is you need a buzz about him. You need him to be making plays, even if it's not against the starters or whatever. It doesn't matter that you're getting there. You're making plays. So that's what we hope for Adisa. Bob, what the Ravens need is they either need Adisa or Ajabo. One of those two need to step up.
And I can't, and I apologize, everybody. I cannot remember what draft analyst we had on, because he was basically saying about Isaac, he thrived because Chop Robinson was getting all the attention. Is that a fair way to look at things? Why Chop, his numbers were not very impressive, where Isaac kind of was able to flourish because of that?
Maybe some, but I'd have to go back and look if Chop was getting doubled and chipped all the time, because he did make a lot of plays, Adisa, from the backside in the run game, like I said in the report. But Chop's not getting doubled every time, Bob. So Adisa could finish and Chop couldn't. That's one of the other things. Chop was always missing the quarterback where Adisa finished. So I'm sure there's probably a little of that, and we'll see. You know, we'll see what, because Chop was explosive as hell off the football. There's no doubt about that. He ran 4.4, and I think he was probably like 1.5-something, whereas Adisa's 1.64. But I think that he needs to get a lot, especially, Bob, maybe like when they report, just because there's not a lot of rookies in camp. You know, I mean, So you're going to get a lot of one-on-one work. So if Adisa works a lot of hand stuff, counter moves with Chuck Smith, and you know, kind of get more repertoire moves, I think that could help him a bunch.
D's Isaac wears number 50.
50?
By the way. So get your jerseys ready, everybody. Yep. Let's get out to the phone. Sports at 583-1057. Let's go get Shiloh in West Baltimore. Shiloh, what's going on, man?
Good afternoon, fellas, man. Good afternoon to the best duo in Baltimore sports. Hey, Vinny.
Yo.
Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask this for both of y'all. I'm going to ask a couple questions, right? So I hear y'all talking about Bateman earlier today, right? So, Vinny, so other than Zay Flowers, right, do you right now not talking about the tight ends, do you trust this receiving corps right now? Before you answer that question, do you think the Ravens did enough in the offseason to address the receiving corps and the guy that they did pick up? I heard he's supposed to be a project. So I'm scratching my head on how do you bring a project in and you need help at the receiving corps.
Well, I don't know, you know, that project. Do I feel totally confident in the receiving corps? I love Zay Flowers. And after that, you know, a couple years ago, I loved Bateman. Bateman's got to show me more. He's got to be the guy. I mean, and they're bragging about him because they need him, and they know it. And that's why they're trying to pump him up. And maybe more so, they're pumping him up to the media, to everybody else, giving him a little money. They want to get him right mentally, because if he's right mentally and he's performing, then the receiving corps is going to be pretty good, along with the two guys you didn't tell me to talk, told me not to talk about, with the two tight ends. You know, so I think. But right now, you got an excellent player in Zay Flowers. Excellent. And then after that, you know, you got some question marks.
I'm guessing Tez Walker is the project.
Tez Walker.
I was talking about there.
Yeah, the project. Yeah, Tez.
I think. Hold on one second.
Real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Hey, Bob, really real quick. So let me ask you a question. When you're talking about coaches, right, I'm going to throw a couple of names out there. Andy Reid, Belichick, Mike Tomlin, and I'm gonna throw Monkey Richard and say that's the guy up in Philly. He only been there a couple of years. And Hobbs, where do you rank Hobbs at? You know, you call him Hobbs. That's why I'm calling him Hobbs. But he just, you know, make you laugh, right? So look, where you rank him at, right? Because we haven't won in 12 years, a Super Bowl in 12 years. We lost 2 AFC championships. We lost 3 playoff games at home. Does that say a lot about your coaching? Or what? Vinny, where you rank Harbs, and I'm going to hang up and listen to it off air.
All right, Shiloh, thank you. Harbsy versus, was it Belichick, Reed, Mike Tomlin?
Yeah.
Who else?
Yeah, it's Sirianni.
Sirianni.
You know what's in giggles.
Yeah.
Harbs, I would think that Harbs and Tomlin are kind of similar. You know, both have had the same amount of length. But, I mean, you got to go with Reed and Belichick, just because of the Super Bowls.
And Pittsburgh hasn't even been in a championship game in a few years, yeah, right? Yeah. Nolan, I don't have their playoff resume in front of me, but it's been quite some time since they've even played in the AFC title game, which the Ravens played in 5 months ago.
And they never even got there with the Killer Bees, with Ben and AB and Bell. Yeah, with all that talent on offense, I don't even think they made the AFC championship.
How about how much crap was George Seifert got? I mean, we lost 3 NFC championship games and finally won a Super Bowl. You know, he got the monkey off his back as much as Steve Young.
5880, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, count some money, hopefully at 12:15 with buy or sell. Former NFL tight end Clay Harbor is going to be joining us. Bunhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. NFL Lunch, we'll talk about Trenton Simpson at 1. American League East report, updated standings. Nobody in the East played last night, but still, you know what time it is. 90 games in. Orioles are 57-33. And then Bruce Levine. 570 the score. Talk about the Cubs. They're in last place.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
5881057, the Fan. Turn it up Tuesday, cranking it up here. You want to pick a song, you want it loud, send your request to the Plaid Sport text line. Nolan McGraw's waiting for you at 410-583-1057. You got Clay Harbor talking to NFL with us, bottom of the hour, Funhouse, NFL Lunch, 1 o'clock, American League East Report, and then Bruce Levine from 670 AM. The Score, talk about the Cubs in town, last place in the National League Central Division. Will they be selling here in the next couple of weeks, as it seems as though every team in the National League still thinks they have a chance at the wild card? But right now, let's count some dough by itself.
All righty. The Dow is down 22. The S&P's up 14. NASDAQ's up 58. DraftKings down 30 cents. Under Armour's up a penny.
All right. We'll start here with the Orioles. A lot of fans weren't happy that Craig Kimbrell got beat out by Clay Holmes for a spot on the All-Star roster. And yesterday we had a texter that even noted that Kimbrell already at 23 saves on the season. That's how many he had for all of last year when he was with the Phillies. So if we continue that comparison last year to this year, he did toss 69 innings in 2023, 34 so far this year. So if you're thinking about pacing, he probably will throw less innings this year. His strikeouts, he had 94 last year, 52 so far this year. Leads me to the question, buy or sell, Bob, Kimbrell will have more strikeouts in less innings pitched this year?
I'm buying it. I'm buying it 100%, and he deserved to be in the All-Star game, as we've talked about for the last 3 days, or 2 days, whatever it is. But for those of you who wanted him cut in May, this is your penance. You should apologize to Craig Kimbrell for wanting him gone after that Washington debacle. And it was a debacle, and he was demoted, but he's come back and he's been as good as any closer in baseball since. So apologize. Know your role.
We'll go over to the NFL, where Evan Ingram, he's been a nice addition for that Jaguars offense the past two seasons, has still yet to surpass 1,000 yards, but has quickly become Trevor Lawrence's safety blanket. Moving forward, though, he says he wants to do just a little bit more, be more effective in the deeper pass game or that aspect of their offense instead of just being an underneath safety valve. Perhaps that could help him surpass 1,000 yards, even lead to more touchdowns. But the new-look Jacksonville offense, they had some big additions there. Gabe Davis is a free agent, drafted a rookie, Brian Thomas Jr., and Christian Kirk, he returns to the equation. With all that in mind, Vinny, buy or sell, Ingram's role in the Jags offense doesn't need to change. They have enough deep threats elsewhere.
It's always good to be able to get a tight end down the middle. So I'll buy that?
Sell that.
I'll sell that. And I just think that, you know, if they can get him down the middle, if you can get triple verticals, that's even better. I mean, he is an outstanding player and a good weapon. And like you said, he has been good for them the last couple of years.
But he was kind of a El Busto for Giants. A while there. He bounced around a little bit. And look, Jacksonville, maybe I was a year ahead of anointing them. Maybe this is the year they do all these super terrific things.
Or, I mean, that's the thing. He can run.
Maybe something Clay Harbor could speak to as a fellow Jags tight end himself.
Correct.
We'll get a little NBA news here. DeMar DeRozan, he's got a new team. Going to be continuing his career now with a Kings jersey on his back. The good news here for Sacramento, they get themselves another high-profile player, or at least a recognizable name, to pair with their in-house duo of Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. And DeRozan, to his credit, very durable, maybe in ways that someone like De'Aaron Fox isn't. So he will suit up for them, but what will the chemistry look like? The Kings, they know they like to run things through those two previously mentioned stars, and DeRozan has grown accustomed to being the focal point of his team's offense, at least in his time in Chicago, warranting 17 to 20 shots per game on average. He also doesn't shoot the three very well, so that limits his role a little bit. But, Bob, are you buying or selling that Coach Mike Brown can make this new trio work?
I'll buy it, because at this stage of his career, I'm thinking winning is the most important thing, not how many shots he gets. Let's not forget they have Keegan Murray, who had a good start to his second season, kind of fade a little bit. Malik Monk is instant offense off the bench. Where does that leave our boy Red Velvet? Kevin Herter coming back from the shoulder, but I think, not saying they're good enough to win the NBA championship, but I don't think they won't because of chemistry issues between the big three, as we call them.
Time for one more here in the NFL. The Titans defense got an overhaul this offseason. New coordinator, familiar name, Denard Wilson, coming from Baltimore, also added a pair of flashy new corners. Legarius Sneed came from Kansas City, and Chidobe Awuzie,
Gesundheit.
Hell of a name. They're going to help bolster that secondary. And the difference is already noticeable for in-house safety Amani Hooker, who said that as the longest or one of the longest tenured players in that Tennessee defense, he's loving what he's seen from the new scheme, called it a lot more aggressive. Last season, Tennessee sort of middle of the pack in both yards and points allowed as a defense. Buy or sell, Vinny, Denard Wilson will turn the Titans' defense into a top 10 unit in at least one of those categories.
Top 10 in one of them. I'm going to sell it. I think it'll take another year. I like the corners and stuff. I just don't know about the pass rush. And then if the offense is turning the ball over, which Levis could, then are they going to be on the field a lot?
Awuzie was just in Cincy, if I'm not mistaken, right? And he got hurt last year, because I know he was playing well, because we were talking about them, the Bengals, time against the Ravens, and he was one of the standouts for that ball club. Again, and we'll talk about this with Clay Harbor, too. That AFC South's going to be interesting.
Yep.
And if Lupus, if he's good, they're going to be better. Yeah, we've lost Derrick Henry. They have the Baltimore, but I'm going to be very interested in the AFC South. Maybe I'll get back on that Trevor Lawrence bandwagon this season.
Yeah.
Because everybody riding them Houston short ones. So this will be the year for Jacksonville to bounce back and prove that they're legit. We'll come back. Clay Harbor will be joining us, former Jag, among others, talk about the National Football League. Bon House, Dolan, NFL Lunch, Trenton Simpson, you're on our clock. American League East report as we look ahead to Tuesday night's action. And then Bruce Levine. Talking about the Cubbies here, last place in Baltimore, but they got some talented players. They're just kind of sucking right now. Turn it up Tuesday, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob 80, Vinny Serrato. Never bad turning it up with Jimmy. Got NFL lunch at 1 o'clock. Talk about Trenton Simpson. Big shoes to fill and Patrick Queen. American League East report. The Orioles start today's action. 3 games up over the Yankees. Bruce Levine will be joining us from 670 The Score Chicago. Talk about the Cubbies in town for a 3-game set and other things in between, like a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw coming up in a few. But let's talk some NFL. Next guest is making a return appearance to the program, 9-year NFL veteran. Let's welcome back to the show, Clay Harbor. Clay, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us again here in Baltimore. Vinny and Haney, what's up?
My pleasure, guys. Appreciate you having me on. Always love talking ball with you.
All right. We'll talk about two of your teams and the most likely to bounce back. And obviously, we're not talking about the Lions and not talking about New England because they're probably going to stink. Maybe the Saints could fall into this category. But in particular, Philly or Jacksonville. And I pulled a Denny Green last year with your Jags. Said I crowned him. I anointed him. And they got crowned after an 8-3 start. We know what happened to Philly. They were the best team of football for, about 2.5 months. Then they were 1-and-done in the postseason. So of those two, Philly or Jacksonville, Clay, most likely to, air quotes, bounce back to whatever level they expect to be this season?
I'll say the Eagles, man, and I think that's just because, first, I love what they did with the staff. You know, I think Kellen Moore is going to do an excellent job there. And, you know, Sirianni, he gets a lot of grief out there, but I still think he's a guy that can coach. I think bringing in the coordinators he has, Fangio, Kellen Moore, I think are going to help greatly because last year it was not it. It was tough for the players, just hearing them talk. You have a switch in the middle of the season from defensive coordinator with Matt Patricia taking over from Sean Desai. So you didn't really know what was going on over there, right? So now you got it kind of ironed out with the coordinator situation. You know who you got. And Jalen Hurts was banged up, had a down year. And Saquon Barkley. I mean, I think that's a huge addition that a lot of people aren't talking about. I know he didn't have the best year last year. But now you got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and then you got a running game. With Saquon Barkley, to me, that's going to be hard to stop. I know you're missing Jason Kelce, but a guy that I've loved since he got there, he's been there for 2 years now, and he's had a little bit of time, is Cam Jurgens. I think he's not going to be Jason Kelce, but he's going to be a guy that can play center, can step in, can get the job done. He's got a little bit of experience, and I think they won't miss that much of a beat without Kelce.
Hey, Clay, if you are the Chiefs, do you have any concerns at all, you know, with Travis Kelce? I mean, he just seems like he's jet to jet, concert to concert, you know, about coming in and being ready to go.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that. But when you're a veteran guy like Travis, I think he knows what he needs to do to be successful. And trust me, I'm one of those old school guys that I want to grind it out. I want you working hard. But the type of player he is, a lot of his success is just due to the system and his mental capacity. He's so smart at finding the zones. Andy Reid knows how to get him open. He's going to be in a lot of zone situations where he's sitting down and Patrick Mahomes is getting the ball. Obviously, you know, coming into training camp, he might be a little bit behind, but it's not going to take as long for a veteran guy that's done it as long as him to get ready to go than it is for a young guy that's kind of figuring this out, that's relying more on his athletic ability, on his strength, on his size, on his speed. For a guy like Kelce, he's so smart, so intelligent, and is just so good mentally that I don't think it's going to be a big issue. The one thing you could see is if he's not keeping up on his workouts, maybe he could pull a calf a hamstring, a muscle early in the season that could put the Chiefs a little bit behind schedule.
Clay, did you ever go to that tight end camp where they go to wherever, Nashville or whatever, and they all hang out and, I guess, learn from each other?
No, it wasn't around when I was in the league, and I got invited once after I had retired to go there and hang out with the guys and just to learn and share ideas, but I wasn't able to make it. But I wish it was around when I was there. Man, it sounds like a lot of fun. It seems like all the big-name guys are there and are really bouncing ideas off each other, and it's really a symbiotic relationship they got going down there. I love what they're doing, and Nashville's obviously a great city as well.
Where does Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews kind of rank amongst the tight ends in the league?
I love those two guys, and I think Andrews has shown year in and year out why he's so good. You know, he's just been a guy that can get it done every year. I mean, when there was no weapons on the outside, when the run game wasn't much, I mean, he's always a guy that is just consistent. And the thing I like about those guys, I think I said this to you last time, is they're guys that aren't afraid to mix it up. Likely isn't the biggest guy. I think he's like 240 pounds. Andrew's a little bit bigger. But these guys will block. They're not just going to run out there, and when you're running the ball to them, you're going to arc release them to a safety. You're going to sift them backside to the backside edge because they can't block the defensive end. Now your offense is kind of limited because you got these two tight ends. No, you can run the ball to both sides when these guys are in. If you're in a balanced set, if they're both on the strong side, you can run it to them. You don't have to run it away from them. So you can do a lot of different things with these tight ends, and that's what I like about them most. I consider myself a little bit of a traditionalist. I don't want the tight end that's just going to go out there, run around, look pretty, make the catches, whatever. Tight end means you got to block too. You got to be able to line up against a DN, an outside linebacker, even a middle linebacker if you're pulling for doing some type of ISO or counter play, and you got to be able to be effective in the run game. That's what sets you apart from a wide receiver, and that's something that both these guys do. So that's why they're one of my favorite tight end tandems in the league.
Hey, Clay, talk about from tight end perspective, you know, running routes versus zone compared to man, what you're looking for, those types of things.
Oh, yeah. So as soon as you break the huddle, the first thing you're doing, and one thing I learned from the Patriots is there's always a motion. And when you got a little bit more of a veteran offense, you can use that motion more. So what I'd always do is I look and I see, I know what motion there is. If I'm in motion, if the running back's in motion, receiver, and you can kind of tell right away, who's moving with the guy? Okay, who's moving with him? Are they just bouncing over? Is a guy following them across the line of scrimmage? The other thing is, if you know a running back, say, is lined up outside, it's a Z or X position. If a linebacker's out there with them, it's man-to-man already. You know it's man-to-man because they're not going to have a linebacker playing outside for no reason. If a cornerback's out there, there's a good chance it's some sort of zone. So then you got to just check the safeties. What are your safeties doing? And that's the main thing. And for a tight end, you see where your safeties are. Your routes basically depend on two things, two high safety, one high safety, and then obviously what's the middle linebacker doing. So you always start with the safeties. It's one high. You know, it's going to change your route a little bit. You might stay on the move a little more. And you have different rules for zone and man. If you're running a shallow cross, man-to-man, you're moving. Zone, you find a soft spot and you sit. If you're running any route, typically, and you're a guy like you're an Andy Reid system, which I was, a guy like Travis Kelce is, you're allowed to find some holes and you're given a lot more freedom. Like Travis Kelce is given the utmost freedom. Sometimes I'll watch the tape, the all 22, and be like, what the heck route did this guy run? That's not legal. That's not a route. But he has so much freedom in that offense because he's been in it so long that Coach Reid basically tells him to go out there and find a spot and get open. And Patrick Mahomes sees him. So man-to-man routes are more predicated on, okay, what type of routes are you running? Are you able to give a little wiggle, a little shake, run away from a guy? And there's an art to that, but there's also an art to finding the hole in the zone, knowing the depth that the linebacker drops to. Typically, linebackers drop to 10 yards, so you got to press vertical. You got to make the defense thinking you're running vertical for at least 10 yards so that linebacker will drop you, and then you can hook around them and find that hole in the zone. So there's a lot that goes into it. Obviously, there's a million different type of zones, but those are the basic things right there is finding the open holes. If it's man, your routes are staying on the move, and if it's a zone, you're hooking up somewhere.
Former NFL tight end Clay Harbor, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. What are you up to nowadays, Clay Harbor, so people can follow along with you leading into training camp here?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter. I'll be doing a lot of work with the Bears, doing some with the Jags and Eagles as well. And we're just going to be talking ball all summer, all season long. Got some cool things coming up. So just follow me on Twitter, ClayHarbs82, and you'll get everything from there.
Clay, appreciate it as always. Enjoy the rest of your off days, and we'll catch up with you soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, Clay.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
Clay Harbor, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, NFL Lunch. Talk about Trenton Simpson, American League East Report. And then we'll talk about the Cubs. They're in town, three-game series against the Orioles. Orioles in first place. They're in last place. It's a mismatch, right? We'll find out what Bruce Levine has to say about that at 1:30. NFL Lunch coming up, top of the hour, talking Ravens rookies. Trenton Simpson, not necessarily a rookie, but it'd be his first year, we think, as a starter, as he's first in line to replace Patrick Queen. Talk about him. American League East report at 1:15. No scores last night in the division because nobody played, but a heavy slate tonight. We'll look at the standings as well. And then Bruce Levine will be joining us from 670, The Score Chicago. Talk about why the Cubs are 11 games out of first place. Craig Counsell's first year. Of course, the team he left, they're in first place in said division. So we'll talk about that. Will they be sellers, the old Cubs, here at the trade deadline coming up in about 3 weeks? But we promised you a funhouse trip last hour. We couldn't get to it, but no more dilly-dally and Nolan. Let's do it, funhouse.
Quick draws, funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
We'll start here with the Orioles. This texter says that going all in is a trap when it comes to the trade deadline. You can trade expendable assets for a bullpen arm or back of the rotation help. The organization right now is built for a decade of success. Don't give that away in a sport where no amount of talent can guarantee a title.
Well, I'm not saying they're going to trade away half the menu for a guy that's going to be a rental for a half a season, but I think Mike Elias has a pretty good feel for what's available and what he could pull off. We were talking to Bob Nunn.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Turn it up Tuesday. Vinny and Henny, 105.7 The Fan. Bob 80, Vinny Serrato. Never bad turning it up with Jimmy. Got NFL lunch at 1 o'clock. Talk about Trenton Simpson. Big shoes to fill in Patrick Queen. American League East report. The Orioles start today's action. 3 games up over the Yankees. Bruce Levine will be joining us from 670 The Score Chicago. Talk about the Cubbies in town for a 3-game set. And other things in between, like a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw coming up in a few. But let's talk some NFL. Next guest is making a return appearance to the program. 9-year NFL veteran. Let's welcome back to the show, Clay Harbor. Clay, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us again here in Baltimore. Vinny and Haney, what's up?
My pleasure, guys. Appreciate you having me on. Always love talking ball with you.
All right. We'll talk about two of your teams and the most likely to bounce back. And obviously, we're not talking about the Lions and not talking about New England because they're probably going to stink. Maybe the Saints could fall into this category. But in particular, Philly or Jacksonville. And I pulled a Denny Green last year with your Jags. Said I crowned them. I anointed them. And they got crowned after an 8-3 start. We know what happened to Philly. They were the best team of football for, what, about 2.5 months. Then they were one and done in the postseason. So of those two, Philly or Jacksonville, Clay, most likely to, air quotes, bounce back to whatever level they expect to be this season?
I'll say the Eagles, man, and I think that's just because, first, I love what they did with the staff. You know, I think Kellen Moore is going to do an excellent job there. And, you know, Sirianni, he gets a lot of grief out there, but I still think he's a guy that can coach. I think bringing in the coordinators he has, Fangio, Kellen Moore, I think are going to help greatly because last year it was not it. It was tough for the players, just hearing them talk. You have a switch in the middle of the season from defensive coordinator with Matt Patricia taking over from Sean Desai. So you didn't really know what was going on over there, right? So now you got it kind of ironed out with the coordinator situation. You know who you got. And Jalen Hurts was banged up, had a down year. And Saquon Barkley, I mean, I think that's a huge addition that a lot of people aren't talking about. I know he didn't have the best year last year, but now you got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and then you got a running game with Saquon Barkley. To me, that's going to be hard to stop. I know you're missing Jason Kelce, but a guy that I've loved since he got there, he's been there for 2 years now, and he's had a little bit of time, is Cam Jurgens. I think he's not going to be Jason Kelce, but he's going to be a guy that can play center, can step in, can get the job done. He's got a little bit of experience, and I think they won't miss that much of a beat without Kel.
Hey, Clay, if you are the Chiefs, do you have any concerns at all, you know, with Travis Kelce? I mean, he just seems like he's jet to jet, concert to concert, you know, about coming in and being ready to go.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that, but when you're a veteran guy like Travis, I think he knows what he needs to do to be successful. And trust me, I'm one of those old school guys that I want to grind it out. I want you working hard. But the type of player he is, a lot of his success is just due to the system and his mental capacity. He's so smart at finding the zones. Andy Reid knows how to get him open. He's going to be in a lot of zone situations where he's sitting down and Patrick Mahomes is getting the ball. Obviously, you know, coming into training camp, he might be a little bit behind, but it's not going to take as long for a veteran guy that's done it as long as him to get ready to go than it is for a young guy that's kind of figuring this out, that's relying more on his athletic ability, on his strength, on his size, on his speed. For a guy like Kelce, he's so smart, so intelligent, and is just so good mentally that I don't think it's going to be a big issue. The one thing you could see is if he's not keeping up on his workouts, maybe he could pull a calf, a hamstring, a muscle early in the season that could put the Chiefs a little bit behind schedule.
Clay, did you ever go to that tight end camp where they go to wherever, Nashville or whatever, and they all hang out and, I guess, learn from each other?
No, it wasn't around when I was in the league, and I got invited once. after I had retired to go there and hang out with the guys and just to learn and share ideas, but I wasn't able to make it. But I wish it was around when I was there. Man, that sounds like a lot of fun. It seems like all the big name guys are there and are really bouncing ideas off each other. And it's really a symbiotic relationship they got going down there. I love what they're doing. And Nashville is obviously a great city as well.
Where does Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews kind of rank amongst the tight ends in the league?
I love those two guys. And I think Andrews has shown year in and year out why he's so good. You know, he's just been a guy that can get it done every year. I mean, when there was no weapons on the outside, when the run game wasn't much, I mean, he's always a guy that is just consistent. And the thing I like about those guys, I think I said this to you last time, is they're guys that aren't afraid to mix it up. Likely isn't the biggest guy. I think he's like 240 pounds. Andrew's a little bit bigger. But these guys will block. They're not just going to run out there, and when you're running the ball to them, you're going to arc release them to a safety. You're going to sift them backside to the backside edge because they can't block the defensive end. Now your offense is kind of limited because you got these two tight ends. No, you can run the ball to both sides when these guys are in. If you're in a balanced set, if they're both on the strong side, you can run it to them. You don't have to run it away from them. So you can do a lot of different things with these tight ends, and that's what I like about them the most. I consider myself a little bit of a traditionalist. I don't want the tight end that's just going to go out there, run around, look pretty, make the catches, whatever. Tight end means you got to block too. You got to be able to line up against a DN, an outside linebacker, even a middle linebacker if you're pulling, if you're doing some type of ISO or counter play, and you got to be able to be effective in the run game. That's what sets you apart from a wide receiver, and that's something that both these guys do. So that's why they're one of my favorite tight end tandems in the league.
Hey, Clay, talk about from tight end perspective, you know, running routes versus zone compared to man, what you're looking for, those types of things.
Oh, yeah. So as soon as you break the huddle, the first thing you're doing, and one thing I learned from the Patriots is there's always a motion. And when you got a little bit more of a veteran offense, you can use that motion more. So what I'd always do is I look and I see, I know what motion there is. If I'm in motion, if the running back's in motion, receiver, and you can kind of tell right away, who's moving with the guy? Okay, who's moving with him? Are they just bouncing over? Is a guy following him across the line of scrimmage? The other thing is, if you know a running back, say, is lined up outside at the Z or X position, if a linebacker's out there with him, it's man-to-man already. You know it's man-to-man because they're not going to have a linebacker playing outside for no reason. If a cornerback's out there, there's a good chance it's some sort of zone. So then you got to just check the safeties. What are your safeties doing? And that's the main thing. And for a tight end, you see where your safeties are. Your routes basically depend on two things, two high safety, one high safety, and then obviously what's the middle linebacker doing. So you always start with the safeties. It's one high. You know, it's going to change your route a little bit. You might stay on the move a little more. And you have different rules for zone and man. If you're running a shallow cross, man-to-man, you're moving. Zone, you find a soft spot and you sit. If you're running any route, typically, and you're a guy like you're in Andy Reid's system, which I was, a guy like Travis Kelce is, you're allowed to find some holes and you're given a lot more freedom. Like Travis Kelce is given the utmost freedom. Sometimes I'll watch the tape, the all 22, and be like, what the heck route did this guy run? That's not legal. That's not a route. But he has so much freedom in that offense because he's been in it so long. And Coach Reid basically tells him to go out there and find a spot and get open. And Patrick Mahomes sees him. So man-to-man routes are more predicated on, okay, what type of routes are you running? Are you able to give a little wiggle, a little shake, run away from a guy? And there's an art to that, but there's also an art to finding the hole in the zone, knowing the depth that the linebacker drops to. Typically, linebackers drop to 10 yards, so you got to press vertical. You got to make the defense thinking you're running vertical for at least 10 yards so that linebacker will drop you, and then you can hook around them and find that hole in the zone. So there's a lot that goes into it. Obviously, there's a million different type of zones, but those are the basic things right there is finding the open holes. If it's man, your routes are staying the move, and if it's zone, you're hooking up somewhere.
Former NFL tight end Clay Harbor, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. What are you up to nowadays, Clay Harbor, so people can follow along with you? We're leading into training camp here.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter. I'm going to be doing a lot of work with the Bears, doing some with the Jags and Eagles as well. And we're just going to be talking ball all summer, all season long. Got some cool things coming up. So just follow me on Twitter, ClayHarbs82, and you'll get everything from there.
Clay, appreciate it as always. Enjoy the rest of your off days, and we'll catch up with you soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, Clay.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
Clay Harbor, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. And up by lunch, talk about Trenton Simpson, American League East report. And then we'll talk about the Cubs. They're in town, 3-game series against the Orioles. Orioles in first place. They're in last place. It's a mismatch, right? We'll find out what Bruce Levine has to say about that at 1:30. NFL lunch coming up, top of the hour, talking Ravens rookies. Trenton Simpson, not necessarily a rookie, but it'd be his first year, we think, as a starter, as he's first in line to replace Patrick Queen. Talk about him. American League East report at 1:15. No scores last night in the division because nobody played, but a heavy slate tonight. We'll look at the standings as well. And then Bruce Levine will be joining us from 670, The Score Chicago. Talk about why the Cubs are 11 games out of first place. Craig Counsell's first year, of course, the team he left, they're in first place in said division. So we'll talk about that. Will they be sellers, the old Cubs, here at the trade deadline coming up in about 3 weeks? But we promised you a funhouse trip last hour. We couldn't get to it, but no more dilly-dally and Nolan. Let's do it, funhouse.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
We'll start here with the Orioles. This texter says that going all in is a trap when it comes to the trade deadline. You can trade expendable assets for a bullpen arm or back of the rotation help. The organization right now is built for a decade of success. Don't give that away in a sport where no amount of talent can guarantee a title.
Well, I'm not saying they're going to trade away half the menu for a guy that's going to be a rental for a half a season, but I think Mike Elias has a pretty good feel for what's available and what he could pull off. We were talking to Bob Nightingale, Scott Miller, guys who cover the Major League Baseball outside of Baltimore on a daily basis. The pickings are kind of slim. We could talk about Scooble all we want. Crochet could be available, but there's going to be an innings cap on him. Scooble would be great. I mean, now you're going to have to really sacrifice to get him, but Detroit's not trading him away. He's not even a free agent until 27. He's not going anywhere.
To that same point, Doug checking in here says, I think the Orioles will go for a top-end starter in a trade, but I'm searching for more than just a rental, multiple years of control, at least two, willing to pay the price since Burns probably won't be back as a free agent.
And that's the ideal situation for Mike Elias, controllable player. If you can get him for a year and a half and you go into next year knowing that they'll be part of your rotation, whoever said player is, you're going to feel much comfortable about it, because if you trade away, say, a Norby Stowers in a package for insert pitcher here, and they bail after 3 months and you lose in the first round, have you really accomplished much? Because everybody keeps bringing up Andrew Miller 10 years ago. Hey, look, he was here for half a season. They lost in the ALCS. Then he signed with the Yankees. You knew that? And then he went to Cleveland and bounced around. We traded Eduardo Rodriguez, who became an all-star. And how many people were calling 2 years later going, boy, we could have used Eduardo Rodriguez.
It's the price you got to pay.
That's the price you pay, baby. It takes two to tango.
Yeah. Andrew Miller wasn't the reason they lost in the playoffs either. I
mean, their lack of offense, yeah. Again.
This one here from Chris says, the way Hyde manages, I would choose to build up the bullpen over getting a new starter if you had to pick between the two. You get a starter, Hyde's just going to pull him in the sixth inning anyway. The bullpen, more necessary.
I've been going with this all along. Get a starter, move Suarez to the bullpen, you kill two birds, no pun intended, two birds with one stone. How's that sound? Now you're also banking on the fact that Kimbrel continues to pitch the way that he has. Perez and Irvin get it together from the left side, and Cano revisits the Cano that we've seen for most of his Orioles career. It looks like he's stabilized a little bit, right? And Webb's arm, I think, is going to fall off sooner or later. So, yeah, you need a little help there. I'm not denying that.
Seems like he pitches every day at this point.
Yeah, I'm guessing he might pitch today, too.
Dave and Glenn Burney here will round us out with this batch of texts talking about the Ravens. Lamar's playoff record, which was brought up earlier in the show, says playoff record, not great, but 2018, a little bit different for me. That team was going nowhere before Lamar took over. That deserves some credit alone. If you eliminate that, 2-3 sounds a little more digestible than 2-4.
It's still a losing record,
mm-hmm.
and you're still a two-time MVP, and those games are at home. That's the biggest problem. And, you know, I think what everybody wants to look at is Patrick Mahomes. What's he lost? One playoff game in 5 years or whatever? So I think it's stiff competition that you're going up against. But when you got those home games and you're heavy favorites in those home games, you got to play your best. You got to find a way to get your team over the hump like Mahomes does.
For the record, Mahomes has lost two championship games at home. One to New England and then one to Cincinnati, but he's won a ton, including one on the road against the Baltimore Ravens just 5+ months ago. We'll talk more Ravens here at NFL Lunch coming up next. American League East report. And then we got Bruce Levine joining us to talk about the Cubs. They're in last place. Why? 30. NFL Lunch coming up, top of the hour, talking Ravens rookies. Trent Simpson, not necessarily a rookie, but it'd be his first year, we think, as a starter, as he's first in line to replace Patrick Queen. Talk about him. American League East report at 1:15. No scores last night in the division because nobody played, but a heavy slate tonight. We'll look at the standings as well. And then Bruce Levine will be joining us from 670, the Score Chicago. Talk about why the Cubs are 11 games out of first place. Craig Counsell's first year, of course, the team he left, they're in first place in said division. So we'll talk about that. Will they be sellers, the old Cubs, here at the trade deadline coming up in about 3 weeks? But we promised you a funhouse trip last hour. We couldn't get to it, but no more dilly-dally and Nolan. Let's do it, funhouse.
Quick draws, funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
We'll start here with the Orioles. This texter says that going all in is a trap when it comes to the trade deadline. You can trade expendable assets for a bullpen arm or back of the rotation help. The organization right now is built for a decade of success. Don't give that away in a sport where no amount of talent can guarantee a title.
Well, I'm not saying they're going to trade away half the menu for a guy that's going to be a rental for a half a season, but I think Mike Elias has a pretty good feel for what's available and what he could pull off. We were talking to Bob Nightingale, Scott Miller, guys who cover the Major League Baseball outside of Baltimore on a daily basis. The pickings are kind of slim. We can talk about Scooble all we want. Crochet could be available, but there's going to be an innings cap on him. Scooble would be great. I mean, now you're going to have to really sacrifice to get him, but Detroit's not trading him away. He's not even a free agent until 27. He's not going anywhere.
To that same point, Doug checking in here says, I think the Orioles will go for a top-end starter in a trade, but I'm searching for more than just a rental, multiple years of control, at least two, willing to pay the price since Burns probably won't be back as a free agent.
And that's the ideal situation for Mike Elias, controllable player. If you can get him for a year and a half and you go into next year knowing that they'll be part of your rotation, whoever said player is, you're going to feel much comfortable about it, because if you trade away, say, a Norby Stowers in a package for insert pitcher here, and they bail after 3 months and you lose in the first round, have you really accomplished much? Because everybody keeps bringing up Andrew Miller 10 years ago. Hey, look, he was here for half a season. They lost in the ALCS. Then he signed with the Yankees. You knew that? And then he went to Cleveland and bounced around. We traded Eduardo Rodriguez, who became an all-star. And how many people were calling 2 years later going, boy, we could have used Eduardo Rodriguez.
It's the price you got
to
pay.
That's the price you pay, baby. It takes two to tango.
Yeah. Andrew Miller wasn't the reason they lost in the playoffs either.
I mean, their lack of offense, yeah. Again.
This one here from Chris says, the way Hyde manages, I would choose to build up the bullpen over getting a new starter if you had to pick between the two. You get a starter, Hyde's just going to pull him in the sixth inning anyway. The bullpen, more necessary.
I've been going with this all along. get a starter, move Suarez to the bullpen. You kill two birds, no pun intended, two birds with one stone. How's that sound? Now you're also banking on the fact that Kimbrel continues to pitch the way that he has. Perez and Irvin get it together from the left side. And Cano revisits the Cano that we've seen for most of his Orioles career. Looks like he's stabilized a little bit, right? And Webb's arm, I think, is going to fall off sooner or later. So, yeah, you need a little help there. I'm not denying that.
Seems like he pitches every day at this point.
Yeah, I'm guessing he might pitch today, too.
Dave and Glenn Burney here will round us out with this batch of texts talking about the Ravens. Lamar's playoff record, which was brought up earlier in the show, says playoff record, not great, but 2018, a little bit different for me. That team was going nowhere before Lamar took over. That deserves some credit alone. If you eliminate that, 2-3 sounds a little more digestible than 2-4.
It's still a losing record,
mm-hmm.
and you're still a two-time MVP, and those games are at home. That's the biggest problem. And, you know, I think what everybody wants to look at is Patrick Mahomes. What's he lost? One playoff game in 5 years or whatever? So I think it's stiff competition that you're going up against, but when you got those home games and you're heavy favorites in those home games, you got to play your best. You got to find a way to get your team over the hump like Mahomes does.
For the record, Mahomes has lost two championship games at home, one to New England and then one to Cincinnati, but he's won a ton, including one on the road against the Baltimore Ravens just 5+ months ago. We'll talk more Ravens here, NFL Lunch coming up next, American League East report, and then we got Bruce Levine joining us to talk about the Cubs. They're in last place. Why?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.